Welcome to the Beacon Church podcast. We love that you've tuned in. We hope this message not only inspires you, but more importantly, we pray it helps you grow closer to Jesus.
I truly believe this morning is going to be a powerful morning for those that are ready to meet with God, who've got their hearts prepared, and I'm so excited to bring this message. This message this morning is for all of us, no matter who we are. Whether we've had a faith in Christ for many years, many decades even, or maybe this morning you're here at church, taking that step of beginning your faith journey, your faith in Christ. I believe this morning's message is for all who are believers or taking that step this morning. An encouragement for all of us in our relationship with God, our connection with God. And I want to begin my message this morning by looking at the life of a man in Scripture who inspires me. I think he lives a life that demonstrates what relationship with God could look like. A man from the Old Testament by the name of Moses. Now, Moses' story is absolutely filled with moments of encounter, of demonstration of God's power, of hearing God's voice, of walking with God. There's so many moments, but Moses' story, honestly, might never have begun. See, when Moses was born, it was a time where the Pharaoh of Egypt had declared that all the young boys should be killed, or all the Israelite boys, lest they grow into a nation that might overcome Egypt itself. And Moses was born right then in that time. He should have been one of these children that was slaughtered, but God showed up and saved him. And I think the most crazy of miracles is Moses was raised in the house of the very Pharaoh that said he should be dead. Like that shouldn't happen, guys. That Moses was spared. Not only did he get his life, but he was raised in the very house of the man that had sentenced him and his people to death. Moses didn't have it all right, though. He didn't get it all correct. He had his failures. Notably, he murdered someone. He killed an Egyptian. As far as doing life maybe God's way, we'd say he missed it. He killed a man and he escapes Egypt and runs away for out of fear of being punished for it. But God is not done with Moses. And in Exodus chapter 3, there's this amazing moment of a burning bush encounter. And Moses meets with God with this miraculous bush that won't burn up. And he meets with God and God calls him to free the people from Egypt. And over the next chapters of Exodus, we see this amazing story unfold when Moses leads an entire nation out of slavery. And it's filled with moments of miracles, of God's demonstration of power, of plagues over the land of Egypt. We see Moses living this life with God just right by his side, backing him up with power and demonstration and plagues. And he lives this life, and ultimately he leads the people through the Red Sea at parts, and he leads them towards the promised land. God shows up over and over. Even in the desert, on the other side of the sea, God is with Moses, speaking and leading and guiding. It's in the desert on Mount Sinai where God speaks to Moses and gives him the Ten Commandments. And if you read through the book of Exodus, I want to encourage you to do this. We don't have time to go into all this, but you will see the detail and the clarity that God speaks to Moses. See, he unfolds an entire nation's way of worship, how they're to worship God, the articles, the things they're to build to help with their worship. He does so in such detail, so specific, the size, the dimensions, the materials. He's so specific, and I can't help reading Exodus, but sort of long for that for my own life. Imagine in your life, who would want God to speak with such clarity? Like such detail for your life to go here and don't go there and to do this and speak with such detail. I read this story and I'm like, man, I want that. What if my relationship with God could look like that with such clarity and detail? But sometimes we read stories like this, we see heroes of faith, and we can begin to go, what was different about them, right? What was so special about a man like Moses? A man that God seemed to constantly show up for. I think Exodus chapter 20, verses 18 to 21 gives us a snapshot of maybe what was different about Moses' life. Leading into this passage, Moses has spent time with God. He received the Ten Commandments the first time. He comes down from the mountain, and already the people are breaking those commandments he's just been given. And Moses, sort of in outrage, smashes the tablets that God's just given him. So they broke the law. He broke the law as well, but physically. And he's done that. And then he comes back to God. And we pick it up here in Exodus 20, 18. Now all the people witnessed the thunderings, the lightning flashes, the sound of the trumpet, and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they trembled and stood afar off. Then they said to Moses, "You speak with us, and we will hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we die." And Moses said to the people, "Do not fear, for God has come to test you, and that his fear might be before you, so that you may not sin." So the people stood afar off, but Moses drew near the thick darkness where God was. The people stood afar off, but Moses drew near the thick darkness where God was. So I think in this scripture, we get a picture of what was different about Moses. An entire nation of people saw God seem to descend on the mountain with thunder and lightning and power. And when they saw God's presence and power, they went and they stood afar off and said, "Not for me." But Moses saw the presence of God, saw the power of God as an invitation to draw near to God, to spend time with him, to actually draw near. See, I think it's often said that the ability that God is looking for is availability. His Moses wasn't chosen because he was some amazing man with massive gifts that were beyond anything around him. No, he made himself available. He desired to be in the presence of God. He chose to spend time with God when others would run from it. He chose to be near God. He chose to seek after God. This passage is a little bit scary to think just how many people would see the opportunity for close, intimate relationship with God and step away, saying, no, I'm not interested. It's a little scary to think that. And the truth is, some people do choose that. They choose, like the people of Israel, not for their own relationship with God, but you go speak to God for me and you tell me what he said. And don't get me wrong, I believe in good encouragement from other people. I believe that someone else can speak the word of God and really encourage your soul and heart and inspire you. And someone else might bring an encouragement that you never thought of, a different perspective. But the truth is, God doesn't want us to settle for just that. God doesn't want the only time that we hear from him to be through someone else. He wants us to seek him ourselves. He wants our connection with God to be intimate and personal. We can't just have a strong connection with God through other people. Our best relationships in life are not the people we hang out with only when others are around. The best relationships we have in this life are the people that we can spend time with one-on-one, where we can get real heart-to-heart. Without the judgment of others, the opinions of others, the pressures of others, just one-to-one. See, I believe that God wants for each of us a personal, direct, custom-made, specific, unfiltered connection between you and with God. For every person. And what he's asking for us is not abilities, it's availability. Would we make our life available? Would we be open to doing the work to spend time with him? Because let's get practical for a second. You will not just stumble into spending time with God. I've tried it. It didn't work. We have to make it. We have to make space in our own lives for this time with God. We have to actually make decisions to spend time with him. And in different seasons of our life, I know in a room like this, many of us are extremely busy with pressures of work, of course, with family, kids' commitments. Heck, even the existence of your kids is putting a demand on your time. One that I don't understand yet, but I know one day I will, right? Just the busy lives, I get it. And for each of us, in whatever season we're in, it may look different what you can or cannot do. For some of you in this room, you know that if you actually made the decision, you could sit down and spend an hour with God. Like, it would just look like maybe watching one less episode on Netflix. Right? I'm not even saying don't watch any. I'm just saying one less, you'd give yourself an hour. Right? Some of you in the room, maybe myself included, that we could do that. To give yourself an hour where you could sit down and maybe it looks like worship and prayer and reading the Bible, where you just make time for God. You made a decision to put something aside. Others in the room, I know maybe an hour just uninterrupted is not possible. But what can you do? Is it 15 minutes when the kids have finally gone to bed at the end of the day? And yes, you're tired. Yes, there's chores to do. But it's 15 minutes where I can say, no, this is my God time. And I need to make it a priority. I need to put God first. This is my time. It may not be long, but it's going to be just me and God. This is the time. Maybe it's the trip to work in the car or on the train where instead of just listening to the radio or the news, it's actually, I'm going to spend time with God in worship and in prayer. Where's the space in your week? Because if you look for it, you'll find somewhere where you can make it. You'll have to make a decision though. If we're practical, you'll have to change something. You'll have to maybe give up something that was easier, seemed more relaxing, but for the intimacy with God that will sustain you and drive you and change you, would we make ourselves available to him? I think Moses did this so well. He constantly spent time with God. It wasn't just a one-off on a mountain. He consistently made time for God, and he was a busy dude. I mean, he was leading a whole nation. He had many people demanding his time, situations that needed to be fixed or sorted, but he made time for God. And we see in this passage, we see the moment where Moses is coming back for the commandments the second time over. And picking up in Exodus 34, says that the Lord said to Moses, cut two tablets of stone like the first ones, and I will write on these tablets the words that were on the first tablets which you broke. So be ready in the morning. Come up in the morning to Mount Sinai. Present yourself to me there on top of the mountain. No man shall come up with you. Let no man be seen throughout all the mountain. Let neither flocks nor herds feed before that mountain. Pausing there, he's getting all the distractions away. It's just Moses and God. So he cut two tablets of stones like the first ones. Then Moses rose early in the morning. He went up to Mount Sinai as the Lord had commanded him. He took in his hand the two tablets of stone. Now the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. If we jump ahead to verse 27. The Lord said to Moses, write these words, for according to the tenor of these words, I have made a covenant with you and with Israel. So he was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. He neither ate bread nor drank water. He wrote on the tablets the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. Now it was so when Moses came down from Mount Sinai and the two tablets of the testimony were in Moses' hand when he came down from the mountain that Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him. So when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come near him. Moses called to them, and Aaron and all the rulers of the congregation returned to him. Moses talked with them, and afterward all the children of Israel came near, and he gave them as commandments all the Lord had spoken with him on Mount Sinai. When Moses had finished speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. But whenever Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he would take that veil off until he came out. And he would come out and speak to the children of Israel whatever he had been commanded. And whenever the children of Israel saw the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face shone, then Moses would put the veil on his face again until he went in to speak with God. I think this is amazing that Moses sets aside this time. He gets away from the distractions. He's in the presence of God, and it changes him. It transforms him. For Moses, he had a physical transformation of his face, that it shone, that it glistened, maybe that it was noticeable that he had spent time with God. Perhaps you have not seen someone with a shiny face after spending time with God, but I would wager that people in this room have spoken with someone and you've noticed there's something different about their life. There's a faith that they bring and they speak with that you want some of what they've got in their heart, or maybe it's even a song. Someone starts singing a worship song and you just feel a peace unlike any that you've experienced. And it's not even necessarily the music or the words, but there's just a peace. And you can tell that there's something different about these people that are spending time in the presence of God, and what comes from them is not what this world has to offer. It's something different. It's like what the people saw in Moses. There was a transformation that takes place when we spend time with God. That he changes us. He works on us from the inside out. And we carry something different when we do that. I find it so interesting in that passage that Moses had the veil, that he would actually have to cover his face in front of the people. But notice that when he went back in his time with God, he would remove that. He would take off the veil. He could be authentically himself. And I wonder how many of us need that challenge this morning, that when we spend time with God, that we wouldn't come with a veil, a mask that we wear with others, but we would come openly to God. That we would come honestly, just our raw, authentic self and present that to God. This is who I am, Lord. This is what I'm facing. Here's my struggles, my concerns. Would I come genuinely and authentically before God with all that I am, mess and all? Would I come and bring that to God? Because I believe that is what God wants from our relationship with him. Not something fake, not just half of us, but our real selves. And I love that Moses would remove that veil before God, even if he had to wear it in front of the people. Would we be a church that is real with our time with God? Authentic. Not to hold back ourselves. Not to try and look like we've got it all together before God. Just to be ourselves. See, I think Moses is definitely an inspiration of what relationship with God could look like. He's inspiring me. I want a faith like his, but I think it's important that we recognize something important about the difference between Moses' time and our time. For some of you in this room, this is very obvious. You've heard this before in church. But it's so important that we recognize this, that Moses had his relationship with God in the Old Testament in the context of the Old Covenant. That God had a connection with Moses and the people of Israel in a particular way. And we could summarize it that the Old Testament equals the Old Covenant. That there was a certain way to approach God, to have connection with God. And a big part of that was the law that he gave to Moses. And the Old Covenant was about the law. The law became a picture of this is what following God looks like. If you can live by these things, this is the picture of what it means to walk with God and to follow him. And that was their picture, their standard, their sort of the playbook of how to be in relationship with God under the old covenant. And that was so important, but we have to remember when Jesus came, he came and he brought a new covenant. He changed the way that we come to God. It's no longer by the law. Instead, now it is through faith in Christ. that actually, because Jesus lived a blameless life, died and rose again on our behalf, that actually the only way that we can come to God is through Jesus. Our faith in him, he established a new covenant, a new way of having relationship with God, that it is not by the law as it once was, but it is through Christ. Now, it's important for us to know that Scripture doesn't tell us that the old was bad and the new is good. Scripture teaches us that the old was good, but the new is better. That actually Moses and his relationship with God, there was a glory in that. His face shone because of the glory, that it was a good relationship, but he has promised for each of us who have faith in Christ a better way of knowing him, a more fulfilled way of knowing, not just for one man and for a nation, but for all believers. Would we recognize that relationship with God is available for all through Jesus Christ? And that's why our message as Christians is such good news. That it's not about all those who've got the law right and have made their way to God. Actually, for all, no matter your background, your stuff ups, your mistakes, if you would come to Jesus, if you would take on his perfection, not your own, if you would have your faith and trust in Jesus, then you can have connection and relationship with God. The Apostle Paul writes about the new covenant and our relationship with God when he's writing to a church in Corinth in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. He's speaking this to the people of that church. He says, "You are our epistle," or our letter. "You are a letter written in our hearts, known and read by all men. Clearly, you're an epistle of Christ, ministered by us. But this letter was written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh, that is of the heart." See, the new covenant is no longer about the laws that were written on stone. It's about a transformed heart, and that can only be written by the Spirit of God. That the Spirit of God would transform our heart, and that would be the relationship we have with God. This new covenant is not about do's and don'ts and law, but relationship with Christ, empowered by the Holy Spirit, that he would give us a new heart. There was a glory in the Old Testament, in the Old Covenant, but there is a better way. Paul continues this in 2 Corinthians 3, picking up at verse 4. And in this passage that I'm about to read, you will notice that it goes, in Paul's discussion, from the old covenant to the new covenant very quickly and very frequently. And I'll try and help you out with physical gestures so you can see it. And we have such trust through Christ toward God. Not that we're sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter of the law, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. If the ministry of death, written and engraved on stones, was glorious, so the children of Israel could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of the glory of his countenance, which glory was passing away, how will the ministry of the Spirit not be more glorious? For if the ministry of condemnation had glory, the ministry of righteousness exceeds much more in glory. For even what was made glorious had no glory in this respect, because of the glory that excels. For if what is passing away was glorious, what remains is much more glorious. God has such a glorious way that he wants to connect with you and I. An intimate relationship that he wants with us. When my family and I first moved to this church, I think in about 2009 or 10, I was about 11 years old, and I moved from a church. Our whole life was sort of in Redlands, and so we moved to a church in Redlands. And as a young guy with good friends that I'd grown up with in my last church, it was a bit sad moving, I got to admit that. But I did come from that church with my faith already established. I met Jesus when I was 7. I've shared that story, and I started following him then. And when I arrived at this church, I did have a faith. I loved Jesus. But not long after arriving here, I had an encounter with God that would change the way that my relationship with God looked. He wanted to take it a step further. You see, I came not long after getting to this church on a Sunday night worship service. And it was during the singing and the praying that I found myself down here somewhere, although it was probably a different spot in this room back then. And I was down the front as the band was singing, and I began to have a vision that I felt was from God. I began to see this picture play in my mind, and I sort of watched the characters in the vision do their thing, and it ended. And I went and I found my dad, and I explained to him what I'd just seen, and he was so excited for me. He said, "Josiah, that's what it looks like when God starts to speak to you. Sometimes he'll speak in visions, and I think that's what's happening tonight." And I went and I shared with my pastor about this vision that I'd seen, and he was excited for me, and I got to share the testimony with all that were there about God speaking to me. And it's interesting, about 2 years ago, I looked back at that vision and I was going through some things in my life, and I realized that vision I saw all those years ago was probably a prophetic picture for my life. But the things that happened in that wouldn't come to pass for about 10 years. But even though I didn't know that the story was going to end like that, even though I didn't really understand all that I was seeing, something began to transform me that I understood that actually God wants a personal relationship with me. He didn't just save me. He did that, but he's got more for me. That he wants to be involved in my life, to speak to me. And the Spirit of God filled me that night, and it changed things. It took my faith in Christ to a whole new level. See, I think that our relationship with God is not supposed to look like following rules, but it's an adventure as we follow the Spirit, his leadings, his guidings, the thing that he speaks to us and shares with us. Because the Holy Spirit is there to help us, support us, to transform us, lead us to our sanctification, to convict us, inspire us, and equip us and empower us for all that God wants for us. The Holy Spirit's role in our life is so important, so vital. There's so much that God wants to do in us. And the Holy Spirit is who does that within us. And I believe that the Holy Spirit, yes, he comes and he will be the one that empowers you to pray for the sick and see them recover. The Holy Spirit comes with gifts of healings and miracles and maybe a word of knowledge or a prophecy. The Holy Spirit speaks in all these ways. And beyond that, the Holy Spirit empowers each of us to walk our Christian walk. That actually, if you want to be all that Christ has called you to be, you need the Holy Spirit's help. When we're a Christian, we're saying, actually, I don't want it to be about my desires, my way, the things that I want. It's a laying down of that to follow Christ. But let's be honest, there's moments in our life where that's really hard. Where you come to the decision point of, will I do my way or will I go God's way? And when you're in that moment, that decision, that whether it's temptation or struggle or concern, it's by the Spirit of God that you can say, I'll do it Christ's way. It's not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. We need the Holy Spirit, each of us, to fill us, lead us, and guide us. Just to walk the Christian walk. To follow Christ the way that he's called us to. The Holy Spirit's a gift for each of us to live the life of faith we've been called into. 2 Corinthians 3, 12-18. Therefore, since we have such hope, we use great boldness of speech. Unlike Moses, who put a veil over his face so the children of Israel could not look steadily at the end of what was passing away, but their minds were blinded. For until this day, the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament because the veil is taken away in Christ. But even to this day when Moses is read, a veil lies on their heart. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. What does this mean? It means that the Holy Spirit brings freedom in our life. Freedom from sin, freedom from the law. Also in that passage, I love this. This might help some of you if you struggle reading the scripture, letting it speak to you. It's actually the Holy Spirit that removes the veil of the scripture so you can understand it, so it can speak to your heart. If you're trying to read the scriptures and you're struggling with it, it's hard and it doesn't seem to be speaking to you, can I encourage you? Ask the Spirit of God to fill you and to illuminate the passage to you. I've heard it said, how many other books can you sit down with the author as you read it? The Holy Spirit inspired many people to write the scriptures, and He can be with you, illuminating it again to you. The Holy Spirit plays such a big role in our faith life, in our everyday life, that if we want to see the miraculous come, we're depending on Christ, empowered by the Spirit. But naturally, if you want to be a great dad, let the Holy Spirit empower you to be the best dad you can be. You want to be a great husband or wife? Let the Holy Spirit empower you to be that. If you want to be the best boss or employee, let the Holy Spirit empower you to do that. The Holy Spirit is for all believers. The baptism of the Spirit, being filled with the Spirit, it's not an optional extra that maybe some really advanced, mature Christians might get to or accomplish in life. It's meant to be for all believers, to help us walk out our faith that Christ has called us to. It's the very beginning, not the end point. I love in the book of Acts, there's so many moments where the apostles would encounter a community that would accept the message of Christ, and they'd pray for them to receive the Spirit. They didn't wait for spiritual maturity to develop and grow until they maybe met the pass mark to pray for them. It was where they began. And my favorite example of this is Acts 19. And it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus. And finding some disciples, he said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" So they said to him, "We've not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit." And he said to them, "Into what then were you baptized?" So they said, "Into John's baptism." And Paul said, "John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus." And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them. They spoke with tongues and prophesied. I love this story because I love the mess of it, really. But Paul comes in and he's doing a great job as an apostle, as that sort of pastor's heart to check in on this group of people who are trying to follow God. And he asks them a spiritual question. "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" And these guys are like, "We don't even know that there is a Holy Spirit." Like they don't know any of this. And Paul's like, "Well, what did you get baptized into?" "Well, John the Baptist told us we should repent, and we agreed, so we did." And Paul's like, "That's good. You did have to repent, but he also said to believe on Jesus who was coming." And these followers of Christ, newly fresh, get baptized to believe in Christ, to follow him. And immediately, Paul prays for them, and they're filled with the Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not just for Christians who've done the journey long enough to achieve something. No, friends, the Holy Spirit is how we even begin this journey of following Christ. We actually need to let our hearts be open. Holy Spirit, would you fill me? Would you empower me? Without you, I'm doing a lousy job at following Jesus. Without you, I can't do it in my strength. I need you, Holy Spirit. Would you fill me? Would you transform me? Would you empower my every day? Would you walk with me? That is how we walk a Christian life, is by the power of the Holy Spirit. And this morning, I've asked a prayer team to be ready, and I'm going to call them forward soon. And the worship team is going to join me in a second as well, because I could not bring a message like this without an opportunity for any in this room, long-time Christian or brand new, that you just want to be prayed for to receive the Holy Spirit. Maybe for the first time, maybe for a refresh, to be empowered by the Spirit to walk out this very existence. And the way that this is going to happen is the band's going to lead us in that worship song. And for any of you that want to respond, you'll come forward down the front to one of the prayer teams that's going to be down the front. And we want to pray for you, that you would receive the Holy Spirit, that you would be filled by the power of God, that today would be a transforming day. You might have thought walking in, it's just an average Sunday, but no, today is a powerful day in your story, a day you'll look back on. Today was the day the Holy Spirit filled me. He changed my faith life. I thought I had it pretty good, but he's taken it to a new level. I want to encourage you, today could be that moment for you. The Holy Spirit would empower you and fill you with a fresh touch. Before I call those people forward, though, there may be some in this room who you are a little bit like this group I just read about, that you're really fresh. You're at the beginning. You're hearing today the gospel of Jesus Christ, that he died for you, that he rose again on your behalf, and that if you want a relationship with God, it has to go through him. Well, today is the day, friends. This is the moment where I want you to put your faith in him. Today's the moment. Right now in your heart, you can just turn your heart to him. Jesus, I need you. I do repent of living life my own way, but right now, would you come into my life? I want to follow you. And across this room, wherever you're sitting, if you've just made that decision, I want you to do something bold for me. I want you to raise your hand so I can acknowledge it and stand with you and pray for you real quickly. So if that's you, just wherever you are right now, just shoot your hand up so I can see it. I want to celebrate. Thanks, bro. I love that. Is there anyone else in this room? Anyone else that's making that decision right now? Well, let me pray. Lord God, I thank you for all of those right now, Lord God, who are changing their life around, turning to you, God. We thank you that you died, you rose again, Lord God, that you could set us free from sin that's trapped us. And we ask right now for your Holy Spirit to come and empower everyone in this room, all who say that they are followers of Christ, to live this life. I thank you for my brother who's made that decision today. Would you work in his life, that this would be a journey of following you, that you would empower him to do so, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's message. For more information about our church, please head to beaconchurch.com.au. We look forward to welcoming you to our home.